Well, good morning, and thank you so very much for your prayers. I really appreciate that. I always need those things. Before I actually do my slideshow, it's not the greatest show on earth. Before I do my slideshow, I want to make two comments that'll kind of help prep my message. It was a few weeks ago. I don't know how many have Choice Gleanings calendar, but it was a few weeks ago. I was reading the Devo for the day, and the brother or sister who wrote it said, and this was a great reminder to me, that worship is the Christian's or the believer's highest occupation. Worship is the believer's highest occupation in this life, but how much more in the next life? Now, of course, we have it's our vertical ministry. You've got a horizontal ministry to one another and to reach the lost. But that was a very precious reminder to me. And I want to share one more thing with you. About a year ago, I found this quote by the Puritans. And it's been having a tremendous impact on my life lately. And the Spirit of God, especially when I open His Word, brings this quote back to me quite often. And here's the quote. It's a very simple one. When we cease to wonder, we will cease to worship. I'm going to use that quote like five times in my message to drive that home, okay? So let us begin the show. Okay, if it'll work. Okay. In our hymn book, I believe it's number 26 in the red hymn book, the title of that great hymn is Great God of Wonders. And the opening words of that great hymn is, Great God of Wonders, all thy ways are matchless, godlike, and divine. And I really appreciated that, especially in light of the message today, because we're going to be talking about worship and wonders, wonders and worship. Okay, by Samuel Davies, a long time ago. The title of my message today is Wonders to Respond with Worship. Wonders to Respond with Worship. As we look at it, but only four wonders today, that should cause us to respond with worship. We're only looking at four, okay? Only four. And I personally love Psalm 77, verse 13, 14, which is not really my text today, but I appreciate the verse. And in that verse, I believe it was David, it says, Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that does wonders. And I hope we all say amen. He is your God, our God, my God is the God that does wonders. And He's been doing it since day one of His wondrous creation. I love those verses in Psalm 77, 13, 14. Well, the Bible, now you know this, the Bible reveals innumerable wonders about our God. Today, we will look at only four, which deserves a never-ending response of worship for Him from our redeemed souls. We're only going to look at four, okay? Obviously, our God is a God of innumerable wonders, and He's still doing it today. What are these four wonders? That begs the question. Well, number one, I'm glad I don't have the trigger finger on the football in our government. Okay. The wonder that God's gospel is unconditional. It's unconditional. The wonder of that. And the wonder that God's grace is unlimited. That's but two of them. And we got two more. The wonder that God's greatness is unsearchable. Now, obviously, we could go on and on forever on that one. But the last one I love the most. The wonder that His gift is unspeakable. Okay? So let us begin on a little bit of a breakdown here. We'll start off with, first of all, the wonder that God's gospel is unconditional. Now, a lot of us, of course, have John 3:16 memorized. We'll put it up on the screen right here. It's a great verse. It probably sums up, if it ever pops up, it's probably the greatest verse. It sums up the message of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I like to give my own rendition of that verse. For God, our Father, so loved the world, he did something. He gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus, that whosoever believes in Jesus should not perish in the lake of fire, but have everlasting life. So that's my rendition of that. And now we're going to look at a couple of highlights of that verse concerning the wonder of his gospel. Just a couple of highlights. The wonder that his gospel is unconditional in its scope. What do we mean by that? Or its reach. We're reminded in this verse that his gospel is inclusive. It says he so loved the world. For our families and friends and all the strangers that you and I meet, whoever we meet, we simply, you know, remind him that if you're a member of the human race, which all people are, his gospel includes the whole human race, bar none. Now, as Tom reminded us in the Lord's Supper this morning about how evil is increasing, I think of that verse in Timothy, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's really taking place now. The evil is going on. But the good news is God our Father so loved the whole world and everybody in it. The worst of the worst, the people in this world who are the worst of the worst, the most wicked, the most ungodly, the most unholy, the most vile, the most depraved, the most immoral, the most amoral. He loved every one of them. He still loves every one of them. So everyone, if they're breathing, is salvable, has the potential of being saved. They're salvable. I love that. His gospel is inclusive, includes the whole world, or it's a universal love. It's universal, regardless of what walk of life or our life is, how sinful we can be, or even how good we can be. But we're also reminded his gospel is exclusive. When anybody puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, now we're a member of an exclusive club. It's the whosoever. And sometimes in personal evangelism, I'll share that verse with people. I'll say, by the way, I'd like to share this verse with you. Do you know that your name appears twice in this verse? And you go, yeah, show me. You're a member of the world, aren't you? Well, who's the whosoever? That's you. And I'm so thankful that his gospel is unconditional in its scope. Let's move on. His gospel is unconditional in its simplicity. In its simplicity. And of course, in that very same verse, it's the whosoever does what? Believes. Faith, trust, hope demands an object. And for one to be born again, that object must be Christ and Christ alone. And now, of course, it demands information too. But Jesus is the blessed object. Whosoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, The word believe in the form of the word appears over 200 times in the New Testament, 98 times in the Gospel of John alone. That word believes. And if you want a better illustration of that, I'm going to give you this scenario. You got a friend who's in the terminal ward right now, and you're going to go to them, and of course you know in the terminal ward they can die any minute. What are you going to tell them? Of course we're going to remind them, as short as sweet as we can, the fact of sin, the consequences of sin, the payment for sin, and how to be saved from sin. And hopefully they will put their trust in the Lord Jesus. And you aren't going to say you must believe and be baptized and go to church and do good works and read your Bible and pray. No, the simplicity, whosoever believes. The simplicity, that's all there is. It's all paid for. Jesus paid it all. All we have to do is understand that we're a sinner, we can't save ourselves, and only Jesus can save you. Now that's simplicity. Thank God for that. That's simplicity. I'm lost in wonder at that. Well, I love this hymn, My Savior's Love, and I especially make this very personal in my own life. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I still wonder today how he could love me. A sinner, I was condemned and unclean. I still am lost in wonder that he loves me, and he still loves me, and it's a love that never fails. The wonder of that. Charles Gabriel. So what are we going to do for application? Well, I'm going to let the phrase speak for itself. Whenever you and I cease to wonder at the message of the gospel, you and I will cease to wonder. You and I will cease to wonder what God the Father, what God the Son has done for you. When we forget that, cease to wonder, we will cease to worship. The wonder that God's grace is unlimited. Now we know, according to Ephesians 2:4-8, that by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, you're saved. We know that. And of course, what is grace? It's unmerited favor. It's unmerited favor, and we love the acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. We love that. But I'm so thankful for us concerning you and I as believers that it's still unlimited. Now, by the way, before I actually say something about this, the word grace appears over 150 times in the New Testament and has multiple applications. But I only picked out two. His grace is very much in operation right now in our sanctification. Since the day, since the instant you and I trust in the Lord Jesus, his grace is in operation right now, his unmerited favor. It's in operation right now from the instant we believe until either the rapture or our home call. It's all grace, okay? So his grace is unlimited for our sanctification, and his grace will be unlimited for our glorification. Julie, I really appreciated what you remind us about our glorification, because I got a great verse for that. Okay, now we got a couple verses for our sanctification. His grace is unlimited for our spiritual growth. I'm still growing, you're still growing, we're all still growing. And we will continue to do so until either the Lord calls us home or the rapture. I prefer the rapture. I like with the reminder of 2 Peter 3:18, the challenge of it. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for you. Please play it. Pray that for me, that we would all grow, how? In the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God supplies that grace, 2 Peter chapter 1, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He gives us the power, he gives us the grace. Okay. One other aspect, the wonder. Okay, somehow I missed one. There was one for our service. There was one, he gives us the grace for us to serve him. Hebrews 12:28. Somehow that slide went missing. My computer's got a personality, and it just doesn't work all the time. So he gives us the grace also to serve him. I'm going to read Hebrews 12:28. If I get there, Hebrews 12:28. Let me see right here. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Okay? So he gives us that grace to serve too. I don't know where that slide went. Oh, okay. Pray for me. It's a good thing I'm not, well, again, running the big show. Okay, here we go. Sorry. Okay, so there's where I thought it was missing. Let us have grace. He's the God of unlimited grace, whereby we may serve God with reverence and godly fear. He does supply that grace. He does abundantly. Okay, now this one I'm pretty excited about, very excited about. His grace, and please notice it's in the future tense, will be unlimited for our glorification. Anybody in the audience quote Ephesians 2:7? That in the ages to come, well, I'll show you the verse, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward you and I through Christ Jesus. By the way, all God's blessings and grace since day one, since he has saved you and I, is but a drop in the bucket of what is coming. It's just a drop in the bucket. Like the old rock and roll song, which I used to love, "You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet." And this is a verse to get lost in wonder. You know, the grace to do this, the grace to do that, the worship, to serve, all this stuff. When we get to glory, it's going to be quite a show of his grace through the riches of all his blessings and all that stuff. And it's never, never going to end. If you think we only get lost in wonder down here very briefly, we're just going to be continually, eternally lost in wonder in his presence as he just keeps on lavishing blessings on us. Down here is nothing compared to what's coming. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. I'm pretty excited about that. I can't comprehend it, but I'm pretty excited about it and looking forward to it. Okay, so Mike, I did ask Mike to play, you know, and of course it's a great hymn and a great reminder that we should be lost in wonder. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Yeah, the wonder that God's grace found me and saved me. I'm lost in wonder. I'm lost in wonder, and he did the same thing for you. When you and I cease to wonder and forget his grace, we will cease to worship too. We should be singing every day, Amazing Grace. We should be singing almost every day. Okay, wonder number three of God's innumerable wonders. The wonder that God's greatness is unsearchable, that's in Psalm 145, verse 3. I think I forgot to mark down the reference. It says in Psalm 145, verse 3, now it'll probably pop up here in a second. His greatness is unsearchable. I had to look that word up in the Hebrew, and it's not easy to define. It's in simplicity, it's past finding out. It's past finding out. It's beyond examination in words. It's beyond enumeration in numbers, and it's beyond deliberation in thoughts. It's way above and way above and beyond what you and I can comprehend. It's way above. It's unfathomable. His greatness is unfathomable. Unfathomable. Can't say that word. You know what I mean. Psalm 145:3. Guess I forgot to mark that down, but it says his greatness is unsearchable. That's one of my favorite phrases in the Old Testament. Okay. We're going to look at three aspects, only three, of how his greatness is unsearchable. God's greatness, our God, your God, is unsearchable in his ways. Now, some of you probably have memorized these verses. Psalm 55, verses 8 and 9, I love this verse. I hope it's a verse to cause worship. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He's way above, he's way beyond us, but yet he's a very personal God. Very personal. What a declarative statement to remind us how unsearchable he is in his ways. Another aspect of how he is unsearchable, just another aspect, the wonder that his greatness is unsearchable in his works. In his works. Obviously, there's numerous verses to relate to that. I can only pick out a couple. How about his works from heaven? His works from heaven, Psalm 40, verse 5. Hopefully, I got that verse down here. His works from heaven. I love Psalm 40, verse 5. Please notice the opening word, many. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. He's constantly thinking about you and I as his blood-bought children. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee if I would declare them and speak of them. They are more than can be numbered. In other words, in simplicity, his thoughts, his works toward us cannot be recounted. They cannot be recalled, and they cannot be recited because there are just so many. And he's doing these things in each of our lives. His works, his grace, how God is working in our lives, and we fail to see him. We fail to see so many of them in day-to-day life. But he's working in us. He's doing all these wondrous things. Well, what about the wonder, his works on earth? The wonder that Jesus took on the form of a man and walked the earth and was just like us without sin for one purpose, to go to the cross, of course. That's the greatest work of all. What Jesus did on the cross for you, for I, for everybody. And I love the last verse of John's Gospel. And there are also, besides his cross, and we thank God for that, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that he's worthy to be written. I love that verse. That's our Savior. Of course, the greatest work is what he did on Calvary's cross. And that's the work that you and I are going to remember and rejoice in forever. And how do we know that? When we get to glory, we're going to see the wounds in his hands, in his feet, and the scars of the crown. That's an eternal testimony of his greatest work of all. And we'll probably get to touch him and behold him, to feel the wounds in his side, his hands, and his feet. An eternal testimony of the works of God the Father, the works of God the Son, in his Son. Wow. as Mike would say, spelled backwards is wow. Okay, number three, his greatness is unsearchable in his wisdom. Of course, there's many verses besides Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Are you looking for wisdom? Are you looking for guidance to make a decision how to deal with things? God's wisdom is in abundance. He's waiting for us to ask him. But I love that verse. How can you plumb the depths of this one? That's our God. Christ, the power, 1 Corinthians 1:24. Sorry about the reference. It's 1 Corinthians 1:24. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God incarnate. All the wisdom of God, how am I going to say this? All the wisdom of God is embodied in Christ. All the wisdom of God, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom. He's the embodiment of all God's wisdom. And we're going to get to behold him forever and listen to his wisdom. The wonder, okay. Okay, I got a little, I don't know how it got mixed up. Like I said, when I checked it the last time, it was in order, but the wisdom in his son. So, okay, that slide is obviously a little out of order. I ask for your forgiveness. Okay, the wonder that his wisdom is in the scriptures and especially in the book of Proverbs. Especially in the book of Proverbs, someone said if everybody in the world, even non-believers, if non-believers, was to read the book of Proverbs every day, even as non-believers, what a better world it would be. Even non-believers, they can learn something from the book of Proverbs. Now, of course, the Word of God is teeming with wisdom. The book of Proverbs is practical wisdom, of course. Just an example. Well, that wonderful hymn, How Great Thou Art, first hymn in our red book. Our red book. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, and I love the adjective, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I mean, creation in itself is a daily display for you and I. To be lost in wonder. But of course, the best wonder is in verse 3. And when I think, when we remember that God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. We should be saying anew, O Lord, how great thou art. And of course, all these thoughts, and I'm trying to share with you all these verses and so forth, revolve around, or involved and centered in Christ. They're all centered in Christ. And oh, how we should be saying constantly, how great thou art, how great you are. Especially what he did on the cross. Well, when you and I cease to wonder of his unsearchable greatness, we'll cease to worship when we forget these things. Forgot to say we got a sad face there. It breaks the heart of God. God's heart is really broken when we forget these things and we fail to tell him. Well, the last one I say for last, and I must admit there's not much I can really say on the word unspeakable. Of course, it's his son, the wonder that God's gift, his son is unspeakable. In the Greek, it's, I can't pronounce the word, it's not expounded in full, indescribable. That's our Savior. That's my Savior. He's indescribable. How do you tell a blind man, describe the Lord Jesus to a blind man? How do you do that? It's because his greatness is unsearchable. Okay. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Wow. His indescribable gift. A few years ago, someone was very kind to send me a Christmas card, and those were the exact words in that Christmas card, and I never forgot it. In a single gift, his son, our Father in heaven gave everything, everything he had, so that you and I would have everything we need. It's all in Christ and Christ alone. Everything we need, and well, okay, yeah, I'm a little tongue-tied right now because I'm lost in wonder. What a gift. The Lord Jesus is the gift that excels all gifts. And I hope we say amen. He is the gift that excels all gifts. And we need to remember Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God in his Son, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. What a gift. And he is the gift. You know the old saying about diamonds? Diamond is a gift that keeps on giving. Oh, the Lord Jesus is the gift that will forever be giving. Giving to you and I. Wow. And of course that gift, what he has done for us, is in our salvation, which is a one-time transaction. That gift is still working in our sanctification, and oh, how much more is it going to be precious in our glorification. Wow. His Son is unspeakable beyond description. That's my 2 points. Simple. In simplicity, his Son is unspeakable beyond description. His Son is also unspeakable beyond comprehension. Way above and way beyond what you and I even know to the present moment. Way above and still way beyond. Wow, that's all I can say. There's nothing I can really add to that. But it's a reality. And we get to spend eternity with him. This is one of my favorite little hymns of lately. I got a whole slew of hymns that I love. This one moved up into my top 5. I stand in awe of you. We don't have it. I don't think we have it in any of our things. And I love Mark, the guy who wrote this, really hit the nail on the head what it means about God's gift is unspeakable. He wrote these words concerning our Savior. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And the chorus says, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing in glory. Again, we haven't seen nothing yet. We are going to, we really don't know what all is down here. There are 3 particular words that begin with an A, what I think heaven's going to be. It's going to be all. It's going to be appreciation. It's going to be all. It's going to be adoration. It's going to be appreciation. It's going to be articulation that will never end in his presence. Be prepared to be lost in wonder when we get to glory. Be prepared. Because that's what it's going to be all about. Mark Altraghi, I think he's still alive. He's a pastor in some church in Pennsylvania. Well, again, when you and I cease to wonder, we will cease to worship too. I guess for a closing, I'd like to read a couple scriptures if you want to turn with me. I will close. I'm going to read a couple scriptures and I'll open in prayer. Open in prayer. I'll close in prayer. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm a fallible mortal. Turn to Job chapter 9, verse 10. Now, of course, these are only a couple verses. The Word of God is teeming with verses about how wonderful He is. Job chapter 9, verse 10. In the verses preceding that, obviously Job is talking about creation, the stars, and so forth. I love verse 10. And then Job says, which it did not have a Bible in his day, about our God, which does great things, past finding out, and wonders without number. That's our God. He does wonders without number. Turn to Psalm 86 for a minute. Psalm 86. That's our God. He does wonders without number. And He does it in your life and He does it in my life. We just fail to see Him. Psalm 86. I'm getting there. Psalm 86 and verse 10. Psalm 86, I'm reading from the King James. For Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. And one more. I think it's Psalm 72, verses 18 and 19. Then I'll close in prayer. Psalm 72, verses 18 and 19. Okay, might as well read verse 17 before it. Talking about our Savior, His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. By the way, He will replace the sun someday. And men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. That's our God. He only does wondrous things. And yes, I'll say it one more time. When you and I cease to wonder, we're going to cease to worship. God help us. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, thank You for reminding us through these few scriptures that You, Your Son, are the God of wonder. And Lord, I would ask, this would be my prayer for my brothers and sisters, for myself and all believers, that You would please enlarge our thoughts and enlarge our hearts to be lost in wonder with You, Father. And Lord Jesus, be lost in wonder with You. Please enlarge our thoughts and enlarge our hearts to respond with worship. You are more worthy than tongue or pen can ever tell, or time will ever be granted to us. You and You alone are the great God of wonders. And thank You. Oh, what a wonder, Lord Jesus, that You love even me, loved even each one of us, and for the privilege to spend eternity in Your presence, to worship You as You are. We thank You. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.